French fries.
No, it's poutine.
French fries are part of poutine.
I'm Dustin Harder, and this is Keep On Cooking. Hello there, and welcome to Keep On Cooking, the podcast dedicated to plant-based cookbooks and the authors who wrote those cookbooks. I'm your host, Dustin Harder, and he's simply the best, better than all the rest. I'm here with my husband and producer of the podcast, Mr. Rossetti. How you doing, Rosie?
I am doing good. Simply the best. That's all we got. That's all we got for rights.
Yeah, but you knew I was going to squeeze that out.
I know you were. I know you were. I am great. How are you, babe?
How are you? I'm wonderful. Here we are. It was a beautiful sunshiny day.
A sunshiny day.
I'm great. We've had a great week, a beautiful day today. Lots of sun out. I went for a little run after I got out of work. It was lovely.
And our Friday, we have our day off, which is Friday.
Oh, what'd we do on Friday?
We had a lovely day. The weather was gorgeous. And we did some silks, mm-hmm. like some cirque training with kind of a local place here called Acrosphere, mm-hmm. which is run by one of my best friends. Shout out to Acrosphere, Jen McQueen.
Jen McQueen, Mama Jen McQueen.
Has
love
kind
her,
of
love
started
her.
Something really cool here for people interested in like cirque arts. And they've got Lyra, which is like the big ring. They've got trapeze. She does sear wheel. She specializes in sear wheel, which is kind of like the big wheel that people like spin in. And
listen,
like,
honey.
And silks, you know, are a popular one. It's crazy.
If just David saying silks, you're not understanding what that is. If you think of Pink and the stuff that she's been doing for the last like decade now, swinging from ropes and silks, if you go to the circus.
Pretty much anything that hangs in the air.
Cirque du Soleil.
Someone has hung from in some way. Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool. We both did it. I was stronger than I thought I was. And I was, it was fun. I like popped myself up on the silks a couple times.
And he then, did.
What's the wheel you said? What's the name of that? That she's special?
Sear wheel. So
sear wheel.
C-Y-R.
I don't know how to describe it. That's where you're in the wheel, everyone, and you're spinning around, and I don't know how to describe it.
It's kind of crazy. Like when you watch
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating, but so it was
so
a great,
it was a
beautiful
cool, fun
day.
Thing we did. It was closed down. We had the whole place to ourselves. COVID safe. So that was really lovely. Had a great day. And right now we're eating poutine.
Poutine.
From Candace Hutchings' book. She's on the podcast Woo-hoo! Today of the Edgy Veg. It's the poutine from her book. And we talk about it later in the interview. A famous Canadian delicacy of French fries, cheese, and gravy. And it is delicious.
What three things couldn't be delicious with those three.
Oh my goodness,
I
used to love fries and gravy, and I also love fries and cheese, so you put these together and whoop-de-doo.
Touring was the first time I was ever introduced to
I was
like,
actually
going to
ask
was.
You if you had had it before.
Yes. Someone was like, oh, we got to go get poutine. It was like the first time kind of dipping into Canada on that national tour of fame. And I was like, what is that?
Y'all heard it right. I just put a fry in my mouth, first of all. Second of all, David was on a national tour of fame.
Fame.
You're gonna
And that's all the rights we have. Mm-hmm. So it was crazy.
I can't remember where in Canada, but I know I've had it there. I've been in Canada so much in my
I feel
past
like it
life.
Was on waffle fries. Is that like a thing?
I'm sure
for them?
I was going to do it on tater tots tonight, but I decided to get a little classical with it, traditional with it. But listen, I gotta tell you, I'm so excited about Candace because I've been a fan of the Edgy Veg, her YouTube channel, for so long. And she's just so cool, y'all.
She's so cute.
Just one of those. She's gorgeous and stunning in all the ways. She's super smart. She's super talented. And then she's also just like a babe to throw it all into the mix there. She's just gorgeous.
Gorge.
So, David, I'm giving you the book right now. Let's do
I've
a little flip
right
through
here.
For the listeners. Give them a little taste of what's in this book.
Flip number one.
Ooh.
It's a photo picture of a pizza.
A pizza. It looks delicious, too.
Oh, I just flipped to Why So Syrian Chicken and Rice.
You would love this book, babe, because
That's
it's
so
got...
cute. Why So Syrian?
Yeah.
Like, you, why so serious? That's
yes,
cute.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
it.
Which is why you would love this
place.
She's
words.
All about puns and dad jokes.
All right. So. Ooh, naked burrito.
That looks super tasty. She's talking about you, Chipotle. She's looking at you. This looks better than Chipotle ever could dream of.
Oh, she's got a couple of staples. So a hell no egg-free mayo and burrito-worthy sour
yep,
cream.
Yep, a whole staples chapter, and then it's got all that good stuff to it. Flip towards the back, towards the main,
oh,
so
okay.
you can get like a tasty main in there.
The faux-rito. So another kind of
like
play
fa-
on the burrito.
Nice.
Yeah. Or sorry, fa-rito, technically.
Hey, listen, it's
the
taking
O
me here.
Always throws
it's
me off.
Me
like, what is that about? It's an O.
Yeah, totally.
But no, but
yeah.
The fa-rito.
That looks so good. So
what
so
is that?
Good.
Is that like faux meat?
Street food style Thai basil beef. Listen, this just has so many delicious things in it. I make, there's a fondue that I've made in here for us several many times that I love. It's ooey gooey, delicious and cheesy. It's so, so good. And she's got, you know, just lots. Oh, you
Ooh.
Just turned to it right there. Easy cheesy
Easy,
fondue.
Easy cheesy fondue.
So many great things. She is just a master when it comes to recipes. On her YouTube channel, there is, I think I first saw her, she was doing a Crunchwrap Taco Supreme. She's really into recreating all sorts of foods like that we know and that we love. Candace Hutchings is founder, creator, chef, and resident mad food scientist behind The Edgy Veg, a YouTube sensation with over 420,000 subscribers
Ooh.
And counting. Edgy by nature, Candace uses her YouTube channel and Instagram pages to disrupt the vegan community with her candid and humorous take on activism, not only for animals and food built differently, but also mental health, the environment, and female empowerment.
If you love food porn, which who doesn't, tune into the Edgy Veg YouTube channel every Tuesday and Thursday for brand new episodes where Candace teaches her viewers how to make their lives more compassionate using the power of culinary expression.
In her fantastic book, The Edgy Veggie, The Edgy Veg 138 Carnivore Approved Vegan Recipes, Candace strays away from salads and smoothies and instead chooses to repurpose familiar favorites by recreating childhood cravings for an audience with sophisticated palates and food nerd obsessions. Decadent desserts, trendy dishes, and fast food favorites. Nothing is off limits and everything is vegan. Every recipe can be enjoyed by vegans, vegetarians, and omnivores alike. After all, they're carnivore approved.
Ooh.
Here she is to tell us all about it. It's Candace Hutchings. The queen of carnivore approved vegan recipes. She's living on the veg. It's Candace Hutchings of The Edgy Veg. How are you, dear?
I am very good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I hear we've got some lovely puppies behind you there making their debut on the podcast.
Yes, it's funny. I just kind of warned you and they were fine. And then as soon as I warned you that they could bark from time to time, all three of them went nuts. So
they were like, let's show him what we can do. Let's give him some vocals right now.
They're like, we're here. I just want you to know that we're also here.
Well, so dear listeners, we may be hearing from Candace's pups today. What are their names?
So we have Harley Quinn and Sir Winston Churchill. And then our newest little guy, his name is Kevin. We also call him Special K because he is both deaf and blind.
Oh, so you have four?
No, three.
Harley, oh, that was three.
Harley Quinn is one name.
Oh, there we go. So silly me. There we go. Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh my gosh. So sweet. Special K. Well,
yes.
Thank you for taking the time to chat today. I know you're swamped with the Edgy Veg Empire, so I'm honored to have you on the podcast, and we'll get right down to it and get to know you a bit with an icebreaker question.
Okay.
What would the title of your autobiography be and why?
So, yes, I got this, and it took me a little bit of thinking, but I think it might be, because it's hard to name your own autobiography, but
sure.
I'm kind of thinking, like, lead with a fork, because that's what I always tell people, is my activism is leading with a fork,
and
teaching through food, using food as, like, a vehicle to teach people important topics and issues, so I think that might be it.
That's very good. I love it. Mine is, I had two different ones. I've had these ones. I don't know why I've thought about this so much. Perhaps I'm like, oh, I'm going to write this. But mine is either I danced with Muppets because I toured with Sesame Street Live once upon a time.
That's incredible.
Or, thank you. My past musical theater career catching up with me. Or, and this is the bitter past me, Elijah Wood stole my career.
Oh,
and that's it.
Okay. I feel like there's a story there that we need to talk about.
I wish there was, but there's not. I just remember when I was growing up and I was like, oh, I'm going to be an actor and I'm going to be do all these things. And when I was like 13, 14, he was doing all these movies and I was like, why is he doing? That's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I guess I've just held on to that into my adult life. And
just
now,
a little bit of bitterness, you know, you just need a little bit in our life.
Just a touch. Yeah.
Chocolate, emotion.
For balance. Well, let's go back a bit before we get into your outstanding cookbook, The Edgy Veg, 138 carnivore approved vegan recipes. When did all the food shenanigans start for you? Where did you grow up? And at what point did you sort of start playing with food? When did that become part of your life?
Yeah, I mean, it started right at the beginning. I grew up in Europe, spent a lot of time as a kid in Europe. So my kind of food landscape was very vast and very close by. I grew up in Germany.
Different parts of Europe, or was it in one spot?
In
or?
Germany specifically. So my mom is German, and her side of the family is completely German. But then my dad is a Canadian military guy who was stationed in Germany. And that's, you know, they fell in love in a disco and the rest is history. And then they got divorced, but that's not part of the story. So, you know, having so many countries so close by and, you know, open borders, it really led my family to travel a lot and experience a lot of culture through food. And there was just something about the food that helped me to kind of learn and want to learn more and know about history when I was really young. So kind of the smells and the colors, and that's really what got me into food. Like, I really wanted to experience culture through food, and I was kind of hypnotized and drawn in. Kind of like a tractor beam, just like, as a really young kid. And I always loved food. And then, you know, I turned, I guess I would have been around 20. I ended up going vegan for kind of health reasons, but also just because I had a very close relationship with animals. So my mother raised us mostly vegetarian. She only let us eat chicken. She's Seventh-day Adventist, so, and I'm sure you know about them and food. Yes?
No, I don't actually.
So Seventh-day Adventists, they're a Christian religion, but they really preach health and compassion. So most, so they preach going vegan or vegetarian. So I got my kind of, I guess my toe wet, dipped into the kind of the vegan pond at a super young age. I was, you know, eating some really bizarre back then vegan vegetarian substitutes in the 90s.
Some veggie hippie food kind of stuff.
Yeah, in the 90s. Yes. Like, my mom was making cashew cream. We were buying these. They were vegetarian hot dogs, but they came in a can. They were awful.
Do you remember the name of them?
Oh my God, I do not remember.
I'm so curious if they had some like strange name or if they were just like veggie hot dog.
Yeah. And like very, very early Eve's stuff. But so I always kind of had this thing towards, or knowledge, I guess, about food and health and how they kind of correlate, and what, you know, putting in your body really does matter, not just from like a health and fitness perspective, but also from a compassion perspective. I grew up in both rural Germany and then also in the country in Canada when we moved here. So I was always around animals and farms, and I always really struggled with eating meat for that reason. And then eventually when I turned 20, I just kind of cut it out. I had already cut out dairy mostly because I was getting migraines. I had a lot of migraines as a kid. And one of my doctors, we tried everything, and he was like, why don't you try cutting out dairy? And I was like, okay. And it worked. And then that kind of just spiraled. I mean, it really kind of opened up. It turned the key and opened up everything my mom had taught me from, you know, going back to nature and being compassionate and kind and respectful to the food that you eat. And then with this whole, which I guess 10 years ago now, it was not popular, vegan movement that slowly started to kind of move. It just kind of moved the needle over for me.
Sure.
And I mean, the health benefits are also, you know, nothing to sneeze at either.
Yeah, right. Isn't that a nice bonus suddenly? You're like, oh, and these health benefits.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not suffering with migraines 3 days a week. This is
that,
awesome.
It's so amazing, those little things like that, and then how, like you said, it can totally push the needle. I'm curious, though, when you – so, you know, carnivore-approved vegan recipes, like, and I always look to your stuff. I wouldn't have guessed that you came from a sort of vegetarian, vegan household. I would have guessed that you would have come from a sort of meat and potatoes upbringing. So where was your shift in looking at recipes and being like, well, how can I make something that's going to feed everyone then, that everyone will be satisfied with?
Yeah, I think it was – growing up with divorced parents. So my mom was very healthy and really pushed, you know, meat substitutes and eating more healthfully and eating more consciously. Whereas my dad, he was a typical Canadian meat and potatoes kind of guy. So when we would go eat with him and go stay with him on the weekend, you know, there was bacon for breakfast and burgers on the weekend. I mean, he had the kids during the fun time. So it was always fun food, like really indulgent food for him. And I mean, he's a guy's guy and lived with other guys in a house that also, you know, had their kids every weekend. So it was always kind of like a party when it came to food. So that kind of juxtaposition of how my parents ate, I think kind of did that. Like I wanted both all the indulgent foods that I loved growing up and that I kind of was not shamed for, but made to feel guilty from one parent for eating. I wanted to be able to eat those without the guilt.
Well, it's kind of like you combined the worlds then, and you were like, no, we can still do this food and we can do it guilt-free. Here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love that. It's amazing. Well, everyone, if you don't already, you must watch Candace's YouTube, The Edgy Veg. It's literally jam-packed full of all of the food you never thought you would have again when you go vegan, like a veganized version of the Dairy Queen Blizzard, Wendy's Spicy Chicken. I think at some point I saw the Crunchwrap Supreme from Taco Bell on there. But it's more than just recipes. Can you tell our listeners more about what types of videos they'll find on your YouTube channel?
Yeah, anything and everything that pertains to veganism. A lot of eco-friendly tips and tricks, because that's something I'm very passionate about, is our environment. It's more foodertainment, I would say, than just recipes alone. So it's really fun. It's quirky. We do taste tests of different products. So most recently, we pinned Impossible Foods and Beyond Meat against each other and just really looked at it from an ingredient perspective, taste perspective, did a taste test with my staff here. And we've done that with cheeses and different things. And then we also rate other people's recipes. So for me, I've written a cookbook, I know how to write recipes properly. And so it's always really easy to see, is this recipe, what is the easeability of cooking with this recipe? Like, does it make sense? And then also seeing like who makes the best version of what. So most recently, I think we did lasagna. So, you know, we pinned, who was it? It was Gaz from Avant-Garde Vegan and Rose from Cheap Lazy Vegan. And I forget who the third person was, but we kind of pinned all the recipes against each other to see which one we all like best. And what's really great and awesome about that series is that every person on my team always ends up liking a different recipe. Like to them, the best one is a different one than what is the best to me. And that's kind of the whole point of that show.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Are you suffering from chronic disease? Or maybe you're trying to live to 120 and optimize your health? Either way, the Your Health, Your Story podcast is for you. My name's Casper Schultz, and I've been traveling the world meeting with top doctors and experts in medicine and health with amazing discoveries that are making the incurable curable. I decided I had to share these stories to empower others who are seeking solutions but just couldn't find them. So join us for weekly enlightening discussions on how to beat chronic disease and live an incredibly healthy life that you won't hear about elsewhere.
I love that. That's great. Well, and you're sort of also showcasing a bunch of different vegan people, so people can also sort of get a different viewpoint and perspective from when they're watching stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, broadening who you watch and just having a variety of people that you watch and listen to and get advice from is really important. And I see, you know, the vegan space as not competition. There's room for all of us, and all of us offer something really, really unique to viewers. And so I love to share the people that I love as well.
I love that. I'm, you know, and chatting with Miyoko Shinner, one of my favorite things she ever said is I was talking to her at a natural food expo once. And I said, well, what about, how do you feel about Daya and all this stuff? And she was like, I feel great. More cheese. The more cheese, the better. The more cheese, the better. Like the more than we can change the world. And she has not lost that outlook in my time speaking with her over the years. And it's just always sort of, that perspective has always stayed with me because it's easy to get in your own head when you do create content and be like, well, what if someone did this? Or is it like this? Or, oh, like to get in that space of like almost competing, you know? So I love that you're highlighting other people and celebrating our differences. There's all differences and it's all going to resonate with different people. And if you're out there and you're listening and you just went vegan, the best thing you can do is find a variety of things.
Absolutely. Sort of like. Absolutely. And there's a time and a place and a use case for everything. So, yeah, you know. That's important.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. Variety is important, y'all. Well, let's get into books. Do you remember what your first vegan cookbook was that you ever owned?
Ooh, my first vegan cookbook. I know that I had my... Oh, I think it was Skinny Bitch.
You're kidding. Okay, there's lots of parallels already between us when you're talking, and I just haven't said anything, but mine was Skinny Bastard.
Stop it.
I swear to you. It's actually one of the reasons. So I read that in like 2009, I want to say, and then I went vegan after I read it because it was the first thing I read where I had been like playing with it at that point, like trial and error, different things. And it was one of the first things I read where it had like a sense of humor, but also educated me. And I was like, I'm in, I'm done. This is it.
Yeah, that's what I loved about it. It was kind of putting me in my place in a really mean way sometimes, but it's mean and playful at the same time. It was totally my humor. I am, you know, bitchy and sarcastic and I like to talk and tell how it is while also kind of like being cheeky about it. So
yeah,
it definitely resonated with me. They did such a good job with that series.
How did you have are you talking now? Because I think isn't there a Skinny Bitch book and then also a cookbook with it, right?
So there's, I think she has a couple now.
Okay.
But the Makes original sense. One that I had, it's the tiniest little book, and it's kind of a here's why you should go plant-based, and also here's a bunch of recipes. So every kind of point had a recipe to it.
Well, that's not the first time this has been brought up on this podcast, y'all. So Skinny Bitch, Skinny Bastard, it's still out there and it still is totally relevant today. So go check it out. It's a good read. Well, let's dive into your book, The Edgy Veg, 138 Carnivore-Approved Vegan Recipes. You speak in the intro of a passion for recreating a feeling of nostalgia by veganizing childhood cravings, fast food faves, and food nerd obsessions, which is where I think we share the same food brain a bit as well. I remember when I went vegan, someone said, well, what about pizza and mac and cheese? And I remember just sort of a sense of being like, well, what about them? Watch me. Like,
exactly. I was
give me a break, you know? It's been my life's mission to make sure no human will ever go without vegan mac and cheese and pizza. That's for sure. So what about you? What is the first dish you remember you had to veganize hands down?
Ooh, the first dish I think it was mac and cheese.
I mean, how can it not be, right?
I think that's actually what it was because I had a roommate who ate KD like all the time. And while KD is kind of like the trash of mac and cheese, it does have that nostalgia.
Now, what is KD? Is this a Canadian fast food?
Okay, it's Kraft Dinner. It's mac. It's boxed mac and
cheese. Oh, got it.
I forget
that
you guys have different terms. Like we have different terms than Americans do for KD.
I love it, KD. Oh, I crushed some KD when I was a kid.
Oh my god, yeah. Like you got home before your parents did, and you wanted an after school snack, and and that's I liked smelling that smell for that reason because it brought me right back to it. So I think that was the first one I really said like I need to veganize this, and it kind of I think the first few recipes that I veganized were pastas just because I ate so much pasta as a kid growing up in Europe.
And pasta's so delicious. Did you ever recreate the Kraft the KD spirals?
No.
There's like the spiral to me always had like a slightly different taste than the regular Kraft.
I don't think I've even ever tried it.
Oh, well, I mean, now you won't and that's fine. But maybe one day.
But you know what I will say about spiral shaped pasta? It is the best pasta because you get more sauce.
Because it gets all in the little nooks and crannies of it.
Yeah.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Well, the cool thing here is you give us options in this book with variations and food hacks to make things easier. I mean, just like that one right there, more sauce in your pasta with spirals, y'all. She said it. But you make things easier along the way, and you reference finding tutorials for some recipes on your YouTube channel, which is a win-win for the visual learner like myself. You also give a great rundown of pantry staples, kitchen tools, favorites from herbs and spices to egg replacers and vegan meat substitutes. It's really an all-in-one for new or even a seasoned vegan. When you started working on this book, did you know you were sort of going to get really expansive like that and help people who were like first timers?
Yeah, that was kind of the goal. I felt that I had a lot of different vegan cookbooks, but none of them were kind of that one-stop shop. And I really wanted to make it easy for someone who maybe has never cooked anything vegan in their entire life, but I wanted them to still be able to use this cookbook and use it in an educated, and if I don't know this, I can look it up and it's right here. I don't have to go on the internet. I don't have to pull out another book. I wanted it kind of to be the one-stop shop for everything. So, you know, you didn't have to know how to cook. You didn't even have to know how to cook vegan food to use the book. And that was, I kind of wanted it to be like a vegan encyclopedia.
It's got that shape too, everyone. Yep. It is a hardcover, hefty, lovely book. I just banged it on the table. You might have heard me because I set it on a bench.
It's but, really it really good is tool a great throwing quality at people.
Book. Which you've never. Not in 2021 anyway. Well, in the first chapter, you give us the basics, which is sort of a great start to those things you're talking about, having the tools to cook with. And I love books that have these because it also gives different authors have a different personal idea of what the basics are. So there's always a nice variety. We've got a pizza dough, a foolproof gnocchi, better than eggs, tofu scramble, seitan, non-dairy ice cream, the art of cheese sauce. I'm not joking. Again, same food brain. What are some of the most important basics for you to include for you that in this book for you to include?
Yeah. Recipe wise, I would say, I mean, there is a whole basic section. I think that was the most important for me to include, just because if you know how to make those basics, you can almost make anything. So if you know how to make a basic cream sauce, you can use that and even not even use my cookbook to make a creamy pasta, because now you have a cream sauce. You can just substitute, you know, what you were using in your normal recipe and then use that. So any of kind of the basics there, how to, you know, make pizza dough at home, how to make, like I said, the cream sauces, cheeses, dressings, marinades, because a lot of the marinades are used over and over again throughout the book.
Perfect.
And just kind of learning how to, or teaching people how to flavor combine in a way that can be recycled over and over and over again.
Yeah, recycle, little elevate, little updo on some other recipes, which is always nice. Use things over and over again. Chapter 2 is my favorite category, of course. It's brunch. I love that it starts off with a pancake guide featuring the OG pancakes, but then also has banana chocolate pancakes and peanut butter and Bailey's pancakes, girl. What are a couple of your go-to brunch items you still find yourself gravitating toward from this chapter?
Well, definitely tofu scramble, because that is an OG and tried and true. My partner is obsessed with tofu scramble. He went vegan, I guess it was over a year ago now. And that's, I mean, he now can make that by heart and makes his own tweaks. So that one's definitely a go-to. But my Benedict, I think, no offense to anywhere or anyone else out there, but I think it's the best and most true to the original Eggs Benedict.
I love it.
But also French toast. I mean, the peanut butter French toast, peanut butter and jam, like who doesn't love peanut butter and jam and who doesn't love French toast? So why not smash them together for the most peanut epic brunch ride of your life?
How is that recipe? Can you tell us a little more, bit more about it? Like, how is that put together? Is it like a peanut butter jelly in the middle of two French toast, or like, how does that work?
Yeah. So it's, two pieces of bread, peanut butter jelly in the middle, and then French toast the heck out of that. So put that in the marinade and then, you know, put it on your pan and cover it.
And what are you
sugar.
Using for your, what am I thinking? Your coating on the outside, what would normally be the egg?
Tofu.
Tofu. There you go. You heard it right here.
You can make
y'all.
Anything
great.
With tofu. That's like, if could just make a just tofu and how to make things with tofu cookbook, that would be I think, something I would love to write.
That peanut, hey, I mean, don't stop now, but we'd love another book from you. That peanut butter and jelly French toast sounds amazing. And we're moving into Supernatural, which is S-O-U-P. Supernatural is the soup chapter, giving us pho, Super Bowl chili, and Momofuku-style ramen. Tell listeners that might not know what Momofuku and Momofuku-style ramen is.
Yeah, so it's a restaurant. I guess it started out in New York. We have one here in Toronto as well, and it was like David Chang. He was like the OG. I'm going to figure out how, like, where food comes from, why it works, kind of like a Anthony Bourdain, but a little bit different, has his own style. And I was pretty obsessed with him for a while. And also during writing this cookbook, he's coming out with shows on Netflix constantly. So I really wanted to take his, creation for ramen and try and veganize that the traditional way as much as I possibly could with vegan ingredients. So that's kind of, that's where that came from. And I guess now they have momofukus in different styles all over the place, but I definitely think it still stands out for the ramen.
Delicious. I personally love me some ramen, and the Momofuku style ramen is delicious, everybody. This Supernatural chapter cozies up to the salads chapter. While salad isn't all vegans eat, I do love me a good salad still, and who wouldn't with salads like the deconstructed pizza salad? And of course, we have the goodies like the token kale salad and eat the rainbow slaw, but you keep it jazzed up with the Buffalo Caesar and great titles like the Cobb Your Enthusiasm Bowl.
I love a good pun.
And it is very clear throughout this book. I love it. It's great. And you make a little quip in the intro of the book, even about being full of dad jokes. So it's one of my favorite characteristics through the book, actually. We move on to the munchies chapter. Honey, tell us all the things. Like, what are a couple of your absolute favorite munchies from this chapter?
Ooh, some of my favorites. I mean, one that is so simple and so delicious are the, what are they called in the book? I think they're chili lime cashews. Yes, chili lime cashews. They're such a good snack for like watching TV and like you can't stop after a first handful, like just keep going.
And you keep going, it's a good fat, it's a good fat, it's
exactly.
A good fat.
Exactly. It doesn't matter that it's been roasted in other fat.
Right. No.
So that's definitely one of my go-tos. What else is in the munchie section? I believe that the jalapeno poppers are in there. I wasn't able to really find a good jalapeno popper that I loved. That kind of transported me back to before my vegan days. So that one was a really fun one to write because they constantly exploded in my deep fryer. Yep. So that was fun. But we finally,
always a good time. Always a mess means good food.
I mean, you've written a cookbook, you know, sometimes
mess is everywhere.
Sometimes
oh my gosh.
They just don't work.
We had Terry Hope Romero on for one, and we were talking about her salad books. And, you know, before that it was all cupcake stuff. And she was like, I never need to write another thing about a cupcake ever again. She's like, I don't want to clean frosting ever again. And I was like, I hear you. Like, cleaning frosting is a pain.
Been there.
Well, there's a couple in this chapter, the pocket pizzas. I love an easy pizza, like more than anything else, to just make a pizza real quick. Tell us about the pocket pizzas.
I mean, who doesn't want a pizza that you can fit in your pocket?
All right. Hey, come on, dad jokes.
Again, that was kind of like one of the after school recipes that I remember having as a kid that, you know, you still want that, you know, just because you're an adult doesn't mean that you're going to eat like one all the time. So,
yeah, exactly. So, nor should you.
No, you should have fun with it. So, you know, something easy to do with leftover pizza dough, or if you have let's say you made pizza, I don't know, 2 nights ago and you still have some leftover toppings and you know, want to throw something together. So it is, I don't know if you guys had these in the States, pizza pockets or pizza pops.
Not pizza pops. No.
Oh, so it's pretty much the same thing. It's like,
maybe we did. And I didn't know we had like hot pockets, but I don't know what a pizza pop is.
So it's pretty much this that I created,
I love it.
It's a dough just filled with all your favorite pizza toppings. And you'd throw them in the microwave after school as a snack until your parent got home and cooked for you.
So you just take like, is this with like a pita? You just cut a pita open and throw the stuff in there?
No, it's pizza dough. So it is.
Oh, you're making, okay, great.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a calzone, but it's round.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Totally.
So when you bite into it, it's just ooey gooey pizza-ness.
I'm like calzone, that I know. Yes, yes, yes. The Montreal famous poutine. Now, poutine is like fries, cheese curds, and it's gravy. From what I was reading, it originated from Quebec. What makes these Montreal famous?
Well, Montreal is in Quebec.
There we go. I was like, why am I not understanding this? But there we go.
It's the capital of the province.
Oh,
wait.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually,
this is great,
you know
everyone.
What? I might be wrong. Quebec City might be the capital. I should know this. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's a big city.
We can focus on the fact that Quebec. I didn't know something. That's fine.
Yeah, and it's, poutine. It's fries, gravy, and cheese. Traditionally, cheese curds, but I haven't been able to figure out a vegan cheese curd alternative yet. So for this one, you can use the cheese sauce that I make in the cookbook, or I give you a couple tips on how to use like the daya blocks and kind of shape them into looking like curds and throwing them on top. So there's a couple options there for that. But I mean, another thing that I grew up eating here in Canada, you can get poutine on the side of the road. Like there's little chip trucks on the side of the road in rural areas, and they're there every day. And it's like a little restaurant, but it's just a truck and you could go and get your poutine.
Well, I mean, is there any like restaurants like famous for doing like a vegan poutine at this point?
I don't know. I would be surprised if they didn't have one in Quebec somewhere.
Or you need
somewhere.
To open it. You need to make it happen because it's a delicious, delicious dish.
Yeah, they have tons of poutine restaurants everywhere in Canada.
Well,
they've
got to have vegan versions somewhere, but... All right. Well, on to everyone's favorite, the main squeeze, talking about the most substantial part of the meal, highlight of the culinary experience, which, by the way, dear listeners, is the exact definition. I love these fun definitions at the top of every chapter.
Those were so
Candace.
Fun to write.
It's so great. It's educating beyond the food in the book, so you're helping everyone. So the first thing I made from this book, actually, when I got it in my excited little hands, was the easy cheesy fondue, and this shit is legit. I serve it to carnivores, and I always know guaranteed every time they'll not know, so I thank you for that. They won't know it's vegan, that is, of course. Tell me about the half-baked mac and cheese.
Yeah, so that's the OG mac and cheese. It took many years to perfect that. I mean, I'm sure you know.
I was going to say, this goes back to the mac and cheese conversation.
Yeah, it evolved and evolved and evolved. And then now it's in its final form, which is baked.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What's your, and is that do you use the easy cheesy fondue that I love so much? Do you use it in the half bake, or do you make a totally different sauce for that?
In the cookbook specifically, I use the cheese sauce that I reference in the basics, but I have made it with the fondue cheese, and it's like elevated. You know what I mean? It's like a fancy cheese.
It's so good you use the white wine vinegar in it, right?
Yeah.
Is that the one I'm thinking of? Yes, of course it is. See, I remember. I don't even have the book open. It was so good. I loved it so much.
And sauerkraut juice.
It's delicious. Gives it that sharpness and that tanginess. It's so good. Well, and then you've got the famous edgy veg fried chicken. Why is it so famous?
I think it was one of the first recipes I put out on my YouTube channel.
There we go. Well, and you go on to say that you cried biting into it. I mean, I've been there. What makes it so good?
It's the texture. It's the juiciness. It's the crispiness on the outside. I grew up eating chicken burgers because really that's the only thing my mom would allow us to eat in terms of like burgers. And so I hadn't had it in so long, And we didn't have options like Gardein and all of that at the time. So it was an emotional moment. I'm not dramatic at all, by the way.
Me neither.
Not at all. No. It was nice. It was nice to feel like I was being included in what everybody else was eating. And I think that being vegan can be isolating in certain situations. And so, just kind of, it gave me a recipe that if I was going somewhere, I could bring with me. Or, you know, I had friends that are like, can you send me a recipe to cook for you when you come to dinner with everybody else? So I don't know what to cook for you. So it was nice to kind of come up with a recipe that people who weren't vegan would want to try and would really, really love.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. All inclusive. My husband likes to say, we were talking to some people about restaurant stuff a little bit ago, and this one person we knew who was in the business was like, well, I don't know why, in the restaurant industry specifically, he was like, I don't know why you're going to do that. That's very, you know, exclusive, and it's excluding other people. And we were like, actually, this idea is all inclusive because everyone can literally eat there.
I love that.
Yeah, when he said that, I was like, you know, I was vegan, and then my husband's probably been vegan now for only like maybe 2 years, and we've been together 9 years or so. But he was like, when he said that, I was like, oh, I was like, okay, you're hired. You can write all the emails from now on. That's fantastic.
You're like, thank you, copywriter husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, in this book, we have the Crunchy Taco Wrap Supreme, which I spoke of earlier. And what's a recipe from the Main Squeeze chapter you would tell someone to make who just got the book?
Are they a seasoned cook person?
Let's do two then from the Main Squeeze chapter. Let's do one for the new vegan and one for who might be a seasoned cook.
For the new vegan, I would definitely do the Thai basil beef, which I still make that recipe like once a month.
I love that. That's one of my favorite things to hear from cookbook authors.
It's so good. I can't get enough of it. So for anyone that's just, you know, starting to learn how to cook, I think that one's a really, it's a lot of bang for your buck. It's really easy to make, but the flavor is so intense and so delicious, and it has a good payoff. So I think that is definitely one. And then for someone that knows how to cook, probably, I just grabbed my cookbook so I can look at the table of contents. I think probably the veal parmesan. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Italian bakery veal parmesan. Definitely.
Well, now, so, okay, veal parmesan. So speaking of your sort of vegetarian, vegan upbringing, well, but I guess then maybe you sort of, did you have stuff like that occasionally? Like, did you have veal parmesan ever before? Or do you have people in your world where you're able to be like, hey, test this. How close are we? What do you think? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had parmesan, like chicken parmesan, but never veal.
There we go. Okay.
But when I wrote this cookbook, it was tested on people that were very, very heavily like seasoned eaters. Like they've eaten around the world. They're very, very picky. So with this one, it was definitely the texture that I needed to nail with the veal. Like it's so soft. And so that was really fun. And then the cheese on top of that, I mean, I like to use the fondue, but you could.
I mean, who wouldn't? It's delicious. Yeah. I'm telling you, everybody, the fondue.
Or just, you know, get some store-bought favorite mozzarella from Miyoko or something.
Well, it's so interesting. When this book was, what, 2018,
I think.
2018, and already we're in 2021. So what, 3 years later? Isn't it amazing to you how much has already changed?
Oh my God, yeah. In
the world of vegan stuff specifically.
Well, in this cookbook, I had to be very careful about telling people to use store-bought substitutions because it just wasn't available for everyone.
Sure.
And I wanted to make this cookbook even available for people that lived in, you know, food deserts and middle America and in countries that maybe don't have the same type of structure, or vegan wasn't as popular in their country. So they don't have the vegan option. So I wanted to make sure that everybody could enjoy it and cook from it. So I really, really tried not to use substitutions, which makes some of the recipes a little bit longer. But you can just if I tell you to make cheese from scratch, just go buy some if you don't have the time. You know what I mean? Yeah, so you can still use the recipes and still follow them and just swap out some of the things I show you how to bake from scratch.
Yeah, that's great. It's just really is. It blows my mind. Because when did you say you went vegan? You said like 10 years ago?
Yeah, almost 11 now.
Yeah, I mean, it's around, I think it's like 11, 12 for me. And really, when I think then, not even 2018, then when you think back to then, like 2009, 2010, it has come leaps and bounds. It just blows my mind. And we're just like, it's full speed ahead. There's no stopping. It's just going to keep going. It's so cool to see.
It's so awesome. I mean, we just got the Impossible food stuff here in Canada.
Oh,
just
sure.
Now. And when we did that, when we got the, when we filmed the taste test, The amount of people on my staff that were just like, I don't like it because it's too close to real beef.
Yeah, and it's so strange, right?
If I'm in a restaurant and they feed me the wrong thing, I won't be able to tell. And I just think—
You're very skeptical.
Yeah, and I just think that that's incredible given, you know, when I wrote this cookbook, there was nothing really. I think Beyond Meat and Impossible were just starting to kind of experiment, but mostly where you are in the States.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. My mom, who's not vegan, she'll get the Impossible Whopper. Like, if she goes to Burger King, she'll get the Impossible Whopper over the regular Whopper.
Which now, I think is incredible. You know? I mean, we just got a chicken sandwich at KFC here, and I did some promo for them, and I got a little bit of pushback from people being like, how can you support KFC? And I'm like, I'm not supporting KFC specifically. I'm supporting that they're bringing in options for people that want it. I mean, if you have, you know, let's say a 12-year-old girl who is vegan and is forced to eat places with her family where her family goes and she's not vegan, I want her to have an option on the menu when they take her to places like this. And so I think that's just incredible now that people have the option if they want it.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's the vegan police, right? You're never going to make everyone happy and there's always going to be some pushback. But my thing on those things, like you just did, it's like, we have to let people know this option exists, exactly like you said, so that they can have it. And the thing is, people are going to start to love it and they're going to love it more than the other side.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's just the whole idea of supply and demand. Like, I mean, people are going to want the vegan product more. That's just going to happen. So then we'll start to push the other stuff out. But like the people who control it all, the food system, like they need to see those numbers first. It's a numbers game.
Yeah, exactly. Them, you know? And boycotting them, it doesn't make change happen.
It doesn't help the cause at all.
No.
And it's, of course, we feel the same thing. And like, oh yes, it sort of like sucks to have to like, that feeling of that, where you're like, I get what they do, but also like they have this thing and people need to know and I need to show people that. So I applaud you. And vegan police, we see you from 200 paces. Say what you want to say.
Just say it over there. In the safety of your home and not near me.
exactly. Well, we'll get back to the book. Never to be dismissed are the sides, and you have a few tasty tidbits in here. What are some sides in this book you love serving to people? Anything you make for like the holidays or parties or anything like that?
Definitely the Brussels sprouts. I was someone that did not like Brussels sprouts growing up. Hated them. I thought they looked like little brains. I hated that my mom boiled them. I hated the texture. I hated the taste. She didn't even season them. I hated everything about them. So
just straight up boiled Brussels sprouts?
She was healthy. She didn't want salt or oil.
Oh, bless.
It was back in the day where like oil was so wrong.
Yeah.
So learning how to cook Brussels sprouts in a way that I love was just a really nice thing for me, because I just always was like, no. And so that one, and it's good for holidays. I mean, who doesn't love Brussels sprouts on the holidays?
Sure. Well, so how do you prepare them in this book?
So I just kind of parboil them. So do a little blanching and then toss them in oil, garlic, salt, and throw them in the oven and roast them. I mean, you could get me to eat any vegetable if it's roasted. And if I don't like a vegetable, if you roast it, I will.
Yes. No, I feel the same. It gets that sort of like a richer flavor. And then sometimes you get the little crispies on the outside and everything. It just makes it tastier all around, for sure.
Exactly.
Any other side dishes that you can't live without for holidays or parties?
The mushrooms are also one of my favorites. I am addicted to mushrooms. My grandfather used to take me foraging for mushrooms in the German forest, in the Black Forest.
Oh my gosh.
So mushroom, just the smell of even a raw mushroom, it just kind of brings me back to hanging out with him, which was just one of my favorite things to do as a kid. It's a very special moment for me. So that's one that I absolutely adore.
I wish you could see my face. I'm like, oh, what a sweet memory. I love this.
Yeah, he loved to forage and go on walks in the forest, and he would always tell us stories and make up little like fairy tales. And so it's something that always reminds me of him. So it's one that is very, very special. So that's
it also means if I'm stuck on an island, you're with you, like I'm going to cling to you because I feel like you'd be able to feed me.
Oh, so yeah. Because I mean, there's a very, you pretty much are either tasty or I'm dead now when it comes to mushrooms.
Yeah. That's what I've gathered from people. Well, what do you do with the mushrooms in this recipe?
So it's very similar to the Brussels sprouts in that they're roasted. Garlic is, you know, a highlight there, but also just herbs like thyme, rosemary, mixing those herbs in there, I think really just perfect. And parsley, of course. Parsley and mushrooms.
A little parsley. Can you give us one more side dish?
Yes, I can. I'm just, you know, flipping through my book here.
Yeah,
you know.
Flip through. It's been a bit. It's been since 2018.
It is. Flip. Yeah. I mean, the, oh God, me and my roasted vegetables. there's the edgy roasted veg, which is roasted vegetables. However, there is a sauce that comes with these. It is a cilantro sauce and it is incredible.
Did you always like cilantro? Were you always a fan or did you like get into it after some playing with
it? I was always a fan. Not a cilantro person. You can do it with parsley.
No, I go both ways with it sometimes. I think it just depends for me what it's in. There was a time in my life a long time ago when I wasn't so much cilantro, but now I'm into it. But like you just said, y'all, she's giving you options. You can do the parsley and stuff.
Yeah, you can do the parsley as well. The base of the sauce is tahini. And delicious. You just drizzle it on top of the hot vegetables and then it warms up that tahini and it's just that sauce is incredible on anything. It makes really nice dipping sauce as well.
I love that. A cilantro tahini dipping sauce. So good. The next chapter is Thirsty Girl chapter, which by definition, according to the Edgy Veg cookbook is, and I quote, a female who is eager for material gifts, monetary instruments, or the gift of alcohol at a bar or nightclub. Used in a sentence, Cynthia's friend Monica's been getting free drinks from that rich guy all night. What a thirsty girl. Now, I know I've been a thirsty gal myself. One might call me the thirstiest man in podcasting, but have you ever been a thirsty gal at any point in your life, Candace?
I mean, thirsty for a ginger shot, absolutely.
There you go. Yes, 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 yes. And speaking of, from ginger shots to mint chocolate chip smoothie and some adult bevies in between, can you tell us about the grade A Caesar? And that's a Canadian A. What's the difference between this and a Bloody Mary?
Yeah, so we use, here in Canada, we use Clamato, which is a clam and tomato juice.
Yeah,
it's very briny. It's quite delicious. It's very briny, very salty. So we use that as opposed to just tomato juice. And that's kind of the difference there. And then people go crazy with the sides and toppings and whatnot. But the rest of it is more or less the same.
How do you create that brininess in your vegan version?
So I like to do it a couple different ways. Pickle juice, olive juice. In the cookbook specifically, I also use a little bit of sauerkraut to get that brininess. There's a couple different things that you can use as long as it has, you know, a brine, you can probably use it.
Absolutely.
Which is why I have jars of, you know, like empty pickle jars that just have brine in them. It's stuck in my fridge forever.
I do as well. But as you were saying that, I was just thinking that about the sauerkraut in my fridge, because we both apparently, I have a love for sauerkraut and using it in things specifically. I like it on its own, but I do love to use it in different sauces and everything. It just sort of like makes things pop a little bit.
Yeah, it just, you need a little bit of brine. It's, you know, your flavor senses, you need it. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to drinks in this chapter, in the Thirsty Girl chapter, do you have a favorite drink?
Ooh, alcoholic or non-alcoholic?
Let's do one of each. Bum, ba, da, da.
The Picante, I think, is still to this day one of my favorite cocktails. It's a tequila-based cocktail, and it is my version of a very similar recipe that they have at Soho House. And it's, which is a spicy, you know, lime and tequila cocktail. And so I started making it at home because I just loved it so much. Yeah. So that's what she is. And then,
and that's cheaper. That's cheaper to make at home.
Always, so, hey, always.
Come on.
And then for non-alcoholic, I don't know if I can, maybe the, I'm having a hard time between the mint chocolate chip smoothie and the coffee crisp, because it's also, let's go with the coffee crisp.
Ooh, yeah. What is that?
So coffee crisp is a Canadian chocolate bar.
Nice.
And so this is my smoothie version of that Canadian chocolate bar. Yeah. Okay. It's a, like a coffee flavored chocolate bar, and it has these like really tasty, crispy wafers in the middle, and it's just flawless.
I love that. Now, is that chocolate bar, is it vegan or not?
It's not.
It's not, but okay, that's all right. We can do your drink now.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for someone to come out with a vegan coffee crisp chocolate bar because it has been years and I would love
one.
It's going to happen, but it has to be from a Canadian person because no one else knows about it.
Well, exactly. I'm surprised you have you not recreated one?
You know what? I'm going to add it to my list of things I need to recreate.
I'm sure that's a very short list, right? No, my gosh. I'm sure you have the longest list ever.
I have run out of notebooks.
I have like notebooks just sitting. I need to get organized a little more between this and my office where I work. It's like little notebooks full of like just recipes, like things that I want to do scribbled in different places. I'm like, there needs to be a rhyme.
And I'm sure that when you are on the internet, you'll probably end up with like 60 tabs open of recipe inspiration and things you want to make. And then
100%. And when I did this, I sat down with you. I actually closed a bunch of
tabs. So did I.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I need to focus. Like, focus in. Get rid of that stuff.
Yeah. I was like, my computer's actually going to sound like it's a plane about to take off if I do not close every single tab except for
when that happens, I get so terrified when the computer does it. I'm like, it's okay, baby. Just hold on. Just hold on.
I'm going to close some things.
It's okay. Yep. Uh huh. Oh my goodness. Well, now we're on to sweet endings or beginnings, as you proclaim, because you don't judge. And I will admit, sometimes I prefer dessert over a meal altogether, so I thank you for not judging me. What's the secret to your creme brulee all day?
Ooh, coconut milk.
That's a good secret.
It is a good secret. Yeah, you have to separate it though. It's got to be the full fat.
The fat.
All the fat. And then, it's sugar.
Sugar and fat. Yeah. So how do you go about making it? Do you get the crispy top on it?
I do. Yeah. And to get that nice custardy texture, I use cornstarch.
Nice.
You can do a couple different types of starches and I like to play with starches, but again, making it accessible for everyone, I decided to go with cornstarch for the cookbook because everyone has access to cornstarch. Not everyone has access to arrowroot or tapioca or anything like that.
Sure.
So, and it's a super simple recipe. But it presents really beautifully and it comes off as very like rich and fancy, but it's so simple.
I love that. I love a simple creme brulee all day. And you have some great ice creams in here with the I Can Has Strawberry Ice Cream and Thank You Very Matcha Ice Cream. But take us out here with Candace's favorite sweet treat from this book.
Ooh, my favorite sweet treat. I think it might be the, it's a pretty big tie between the sponge cake and the mousse. Let's go with the mousse. The mousse is ridiculous.
Tell me
about it. So it's an aquafaba base.
Perfect.
And it's literally whipped into oblivion. It's whipped into like it's melted chocolate whipped with aquafaba and you put it in the fridge. And again, very simple. And you can layer it with whipped, like a vegan version of whatever whipped cream you love or a coconut cream. And you know, you can get that kind of layered version. It's really, really decadent. And again, it presents very fancy. So that's always a bonus for when we're allowed to have people over again.
Yes. For that day.
That day. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, this reaches the point where, I would ask you to give a book brag. Something you're most proud about when it comes to this book.
I mean, the timeline for this book was insane. We came up with idea. We wrote it, shot it, and had it out within 8 months.
Oh, that's amazing.
With
congrats.
The tour and
to
everything. Yeah. So I think just like I'm very proud of.
Book tour was within that 8 months as well?
It started at the 8 month point.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah. It was wild. I definitely learned how hard I can work.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. You tell me 8 months on this. So I've heard between my books and the books, everyone I've chatted with on this podcast, I've heard so many different timelines. I would have thought with the quality of this book, because it is so good, that you had much more time than 8 months. So kudos to you.
Thank you. And I did all of the styling myself. I did not take the photos because I only have two hands. But working with, and it's really lovely because everyone that worked on this cookbook with me is a friend. So I really went out of my way to hire my friends and give them these opportunities that they wanted. I had a sous chef in the kitchen with me and he always wanted to work on a cookbook. So I was like, why don't you help me with mine?
That's
and
perfect.
I had a girlfriend who was a prop stylist who always wanted to work on a cookbook. She did prop styling for, you know, magazines and that sort of thing, food and drink, which we have here in Canada. And she wanted to style a cookbook. So I hired her. So it was really lovely to work with people that I adore and I admire and are very close to me. So that was really, really special.
I love that. That's so great to have people with you on projects that you get to do with people you actually enjoy being around.
Yeah,
you
know? It makes such a huge difference. It just relieves a level of stress because you all just know each other.
Yep.
And, you know, working with people that maybe you don't know as well, you have to get to know their like quirks and how they communicate and all of that. And
yeah,
it's just
for sure.
And, you know, giving your friends opportunities is awesome.
Yeah, it is great. And did you have a glam squad, Mama? Because your hair on this cover is lit.
Yes, I definitely had a glam squad.
It is so good. God. I'm like, that hair is right.
Well, and after years of doing YouTube videos where I had to do my own hair and makeup, I was like, yes, girl, I am not lifting a pinky. Curl my hair for me. Yep. I will not be getting a workout this morning like I usually do.
Yep, you were like, it's fine.
The only work my head had to do was to carry those extensions around. So
yeah, oh, they're so good. I just love it's so funny as you were just talking about people being involved. I was like, when I first got this book, I was like, ooh, she had that hair done good. It looks great. It's so good. So
thank
good.
You.
I mean, you always look great, but there's just an extra special curl in this cover photo that I love. It's
thank
just
you.
Quite,
yeah. I
just
mean,
right.
And as someone that just cut all their hair off,
really?
Yeah. I just cut it to shoulder length because I just was dying it blonde for so long. It was just dead and I needed to start over. But now that I look at this cookbook cover, I'm like, I wonder how long it's going to take to grow that out again.
Well done to you. That is quite the timeline. We're going to move into your rapid fire round of questions.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Celebrity you would love to cook for?
Oh,
I started with the hard one.
I know, not so rapid fire for me. Jesus.
I know, I'm so sorry.
the celebrity that I would like to cook for, oh my God, what is his name? Offerman. Jeff Offerman.
Oh, okay.
Ron Swanson. Duh.
Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. Yes.
There we go. We got to it between
because
the two of us.
Because he plays the exact character in every single show, and he loves meat. So let me cook for him.
He loves meat. I was going to say he needs you to cook for him. That would be so great.
I mean, hopefully he doesn't throw it in the garbage. But
no, I think he'd eat it. He'd probably be very kind. Midnight, and also he's so adorable. I just have such a crush on him
so
too.
Cute.
Midnight or late night snack?
Ooh, cereal.
Cereal, very good. I can't keep cereal in the house because I just will.
Oh, that candy cereal from our childhood that our parents would never buy for us. Give me it. I want it in my veins.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch all the
ooh,
way.
Ooh, I'm a Captain goodness. Crunch girl.
There you go. Baked or fried?
Always fried.
There you go. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Food on a skewer or a tiny spoon?
Ooh, skewer. Messier.
Favorites? Yes. I agree. And you're eating with your hands, so I'm into that.
Yeah.
Favorite spice to cook with?
Favorite spice. Like not a spice blend, just one spice.
It can be a spice blend. Sure, why not? I'm not picky.
You know what? I think as lame and boring as this is, I think it's chili.
No, not boring at all. The most common one on here is smoked paprika, so I'd say it's right in line with that.
Yep.
So, well, you're right in line. It's all good. Last recipe you tested?
Oh, Japanese souffle pancakes.
Ooh, how'd they turn out? Did they do well?
Probably two more rounds. They were really good, but the recipe made three. So.
I hear you. I can't wait for you to do this because my husband was in Tokyo a couple years ago and I had been there like many years prior and I didn't have the souffle pancakes, but he had some and he kept texting me and I was like, I'm going to learn how to make these. By the time he gets home, I'm going to have them. And I could not figure it out. So
it's really hard.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my... Listen, though, I'm sure you feel this way. Sometimes you're like, oh, I got this. This is going to be fine. No, just give it to me. It's fine. I got it.
Oh, my God. I made, like, I made over glorified sweet milk the first time. I was like, what is this? This isn't even batter. What happened?
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Well, I'll be looking for your recipe because I've been hoping to recreate those for my husband, so I'm excited. Next question, Brad Pitt or Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Favorite kitchen tool?
My stand mixer.
Yes, hot sauce or barbecue sauce?
Hot sauce, all day.
What is on your hot stand? Your hot stand? What is on your nightstand right now?
A Buddha, a glass of water, and an Eiffel Tower.
Ah, and I know you love an air fryer. Favorite item to air fry?
Ooh, cauliflower.
Breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast?
Breakfast for dinner.
And final question, what's an item on your bucket list?
Oh, dear God, there's so many and I have to pick one. I would love to... what would I love? Let's pick one of these many. I want to cook in an Italian kitchen next to an Italian chef.
That's great. So season 3 of my show, The Vegan Roadie, we went all around Italy and I actually got to do that. And it is really cool. It's so simplistic, which is the cool thing.
It's
like,
so different
it's so different
here in North America where we're screaming at each other.
Yes. Yes. And most of the kitchens I went into, they weren't like packed full of people. It was like a few people like just getting it done, you know, and like very simplistic with ingredients. So I know that that will come true on your bucket
list. It's the passion. A couple of years ago, I traveled to Italy for 6 weeks and I just,
nice.
It was just, I have never seen passion like I have seen for food in that country.
And it's so funny. People were like, you're going to do a vegan series in Italy. Like nothing's vegan. I was like, y'all, everything's vegan.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, just so much of the food is just vegan.
Exactly. Just and they embrace veganism. I found that everyone was so friendly and kind when I said that I was vegan and got very excited and so, a lot of accidentally vegan options as well. And
yeah, it didn't come with to go with what you're saying, it didn't come with that sort of like vegan. Oh, like that wasn't a thing there. They were like, oh, vegan, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, just like, it was fine. It was no big
deal. They didn't shame you.
No, exactly. That's exactly what I was looking
for. Every time I brought it up in, you know, not a normal restaurant, but a not vegan restaurant.
Sure.
Every chef took it as like a challenge. They just wanted to make me happy. Whereas I find if I do that kind of here in North America, a lot of the time I met with like an annoyance and I'm annoying them. So I really love that.
Yeah. Which is, you love that the nice people in Italy, that is, you're saying.
Yes.
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 I thought that was sarcastic. Like, so I really love that when they say that. And which is like, I was like, well,
I love paying too, for sister. Food that you probably spit in. I love it.
Oh my goodness. Well, do you speak Italian?
No, I kind of picked up a little bit while I was there just to get by, but it's been almost 3 years now. So it's, he's gone.
That's all
do
right.
You?
When you get back, you'll get little. Nope, I don't. I wish we had somebody with us who helped us out the whole time.
Nice.
I picked up little things here and there, you know, it was because I was on camera. So I had to have somebody like helping me. I couldn't really like.
Yeah. Luckily
the whole time
I was with my girlfriend who studied in Florence. While she wasn't fluent, she knew a lot and could understand a lot better than I could until I got used to, you know, the accents and different things. So
it's great. Oh, I love it. Well, you'll be cooking in Italy before you know it. Well, hopefully, you know, once things get to where they're going again, and hopefully I can travel to, you're in Toronto, is that right?
I am.
Yeah, hopefully I get to meet you in person there one day. You can show me some of your favorite hometown eats. Until then, everyone get a copy of the Edgy Veg 138 carnivore-approved vegan recipes everywhere books are sold. From Hubert DeWitt and downright delicious recipes that everyone will love, you won't regret purchasing this book. Candace, tell everyone where they can find you on socials, website, and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much everything is Edgy Veg, so Instagram, Twitter, Facebook is Edgy Veg. YouTube channel is youtube.com/edgyveg. And on TikTok, which I started this year, I am the Edgy Veg. And it's a fun space. It's a very kind, welcoming, fun space there.
Have you been on Clubhouse?
I have not.
I haven't either. Do you keep getting invited to it,
though? I do, but I'm a visual person, you know?
I keep getting, I don't, so does that mean, is it not video? Is it all audio?
It's all audio. And
I just haven't.
I feel like it's a space for people to bitch.
I feel like it might be too. I mean, I don't, listen, no shade to anyone who's invited me, but every time I get an invite, I'm like, I don't have it in me. I don't know, like, for another thing, I'm just like, I don't know, everybody, I don't know. But, you know, maybe I'll have to. It's not fair of me to say that without checking it out.
That's
so maybe
true.
I'll check
That's
it
true.
Out then. So, you know, well, and congrats on the TikTok then. That's another one I'm a little scared of. Why the edgy veg on there? Did someone take edgy veg already?
Yes, they took it from me.
Oh, I've had it enough.
Yes.
Enough. Well, all right. We can find you all the places we need to simply by looking up Edgy Veg and Candace Hutchings, of course. So what do you say? You think you have another book in you? You might write another?
Definitely. It's just awesome. A matter of when.
I love that. That's great. Well, maybe your timeline will be a little more, I don't know, just a little more expansive.
Yes,
this time,
definitely so writing that into the pressure contract. Cooker.
I love it. Well, thank you for the content you are providing to make the world a better place, one bite at a time. I'm grateful for it, and I know our listeners are as well. Thanks again for chatting today. Take care, Candace.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you for having me.
She's just cool. Like, I mean, here's the thing. I love her so much. And like, we talk about hanging out if I get to Canada, but like, I don't know if I can. She makes me nervous. She's so cool. Do you know what I mean?
Just so cool.
She's a cool gal.
And she's got great hair.
She really has great hair.
I mean, I'm just looking at the picture on the
Well, I know. That's why we talked about it in the interview. I got gaga for that hair on the cover of that
If
book.
Anybody remembered the Germac Bounce Back Beautiful Hair commercials, like, she could
very
be.
Much. Now she's sporting some red hair in the photo that's Ooh, up on the post today. Right. I tell you, a woman of many colors,
many
shades.
Many colors, many shades,
lots
but all
of talent.
Compassion.
She's got it all going on. It's all compassionate.
She's all compassionate. Well, speaking of compassionate... What's compassionate on Dustin's dish this week? What do you got?
Honey, have I got a compassionate dish for you?
Tell me.
Let's dish.
Give it to
Shall
me.
We?
Let's do it.
Okay. Vegan parm. Everybody, you can make any nut or seed into a quick Parmesan cheese by pulsing the nut or seed in a food processor or blender and then adding a bit of nutritional yeast and just a dash of salt to taste. I personally like hemp seed parm. You can actually find an exact recipe in my book, Epic Vegan, for that. And in my first book, Simply Vegan, there is a walnut parm. And in my third book, coming out June 1st, oh, we forgot to tell everybody, by the way.
Oh my God.
The release of my new cookbook, Epic Vegan Quick and Easy, has been pushed back to June 1st. Thank you, COVID delays. So that gives you another month to pre-order and then send your proof of purchase to go to veganroadie.com to submit your proof of purchase for a free ebook of epic extra recipes, y'all. So go get that proof of purchase in now. And yeah, so excited for the book to come out, but I just wanted to let you know that it has been postponed. If you already pre-ordered it, thank you so, so, so much for your support. And like I said, the third book, or I was about to tell you, this third book has an almond crumble in it. And it strays away from the parm a little, but it is like a little cheese crumble. It's just blanched almonds with a squeeze of lemon juice and a pinch of salt. So my point here is that vegan parm is easy. To give you some measurements, Carol... 1/2 cup nut or seed with a pinch of salt and 2 tablespoons of nutritional yeast. There you go. Pulse it all together. Add some more Nutrisalt to taste. Keep on hand and pour this stuff on everything. And if you're too lazy to make it, you can go to Kelly's Croutons. She makes a variety of awesome, awesome parms. My favorite is actually just the gourmet cheesy parm, but she's got a whole variety. I also like the lemon cheesy parm,
Lemon's
too.
Delicious.
And she's got a couple spicy... Anyway, she's got a lot of Parmesan cheeses at kellyscroutons.com. So since I'm mentioning her, if you go to kellyscroutons.com and purchase 2 or more items, you can get 15% off with the code Dustin. That's my name, D-U-S-T-I-N, if you buy 2 items or more, okay? So buy 2 items or more on the website, and then you get 15% off your purchase at checkout. So, okay, that's my dish.
That is a great dish.
Thanks, Bab.
That is a full meal.
It is?
That's
well,
not even
I
a
mean,
snack. Well, it's kind of a snack.
A snack, yeah.
Yeah, it's anyway. Delicious. You can put it on everything.
And we do. We keep it in the house.
Yep. The last bit of business, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. Please.
That's business.
Put us a little podcast that could.
And come back next week for a brand new episode. Until then, keep on cooking. And remember, it's nice to be nice. This has been a Muzzy Cat production.